On Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, up from the bottom, three lines. Amar Rav Sheshes, Hareisha Hoisa Eino Smuya. In other words, the Eved could not see through his eye. Vechatata, but the Adam removed the eye of the Eved, a blind eye, and that's what we call Mechusar Ever, meaning as long as he had the eye there, he wasn't considered a Mechusar Ever. Is Eved, Yotzi ben Lechir, says Rav Sheshes, the Eved goes out free, because that itself, that Chatota, makes him into a Mechusar Ever, and that's called Hapolas Ha'ayin. And he goes free. My Taima, Mechusar Ever, who knows, even though he didn't see in this eye, but it's still considered an Akiras Ever, when the Adon takes out the eye, and therefore he goes Lecheris. V'tana Tuna, we also learned in a Braisa, the same din of Rav Sheshes, Tamus V'Zachrus V'Behema, V'Ein Tamus V'Zachrus V'Ophos. We're talking about the law of bringing a carbon ola. The ola has to come from a zochar tamim, which means it has no mum, it has no blemish. Is eino noeg, this law doesn't apply unless he's being makriv a behemas ola, but not ein tamus v'zachus beofos if he's being makriv an olas ha'of. In other words, in the case of Olas Ha'of, as opposed to Olas Behema, there's no Kpeda on Mum. The Of doesn't have to be a Zohar, even an Akeva is Kshera for an Olas Of, and the Of doesn't have to be Tam. It could have a Mum. Yachal, I might think, even if Yavsha Gapa, in this case of an Olas Ha'of, Yavsha Gapa. Gapa is a reference to the kanaf, the wing, and it became dry. Or another case, Nikta'a Ragleha, the Of is missing one of its legs. Nechtata Eina, or the eye was removed. So we might think that in such a case, the Olas Ha'of is Kshera, despite these deficiencies. The Ayin is Smuya, or Nikta Ragla Yavsha Gapa. We're talking about not just a Mum, but a Mechusar Ever. How far does the Torah go in being Machshir Olas Ha'of? Is it only as far as Mumin is concerned, or even further, more radically, there's no psul even with a chisarn ever. Tamid lomar, the pasuk says this at the very beginning of the yikra, but we'll read the entire pasuk. V'im min ha'of ola karbano lashem, and it says min ha'of. What does that mean? Min ha'of is miktas ha'ofos aruuyim lakrov. Meaning min ha'of means not every single bird is acceptable for an ola. What is this coming to exclude? V'lo kol ha'of. Which ofos are being excluded? And the answer is mechusar ever. Now, as we take the less of the radical chiddush, in other words, there's no psul of balmum, but there is a psul mechusar ever. And nechtita eina is considered mechusar ever. Amar Abchi of Arashi, Amar Rav Hoysalo, and here we turn to Chafhei Omen Aleph. Yeseres, let's say the Eved had an extra finger, instead of five on his hand, he had six. V'chatochan, the Adon, removed that sixth. Is the Eved goes out to Cherus, even though, despite the fact that it's an extra Eved, nevertheless, it still is Hapolas Ever, this etzba will not be replaced, And once you remove an Eiver from the body of the Eved in an irreplaceable way, that's called Yotzeis B'Shein B'Rashe Eivar. Amar Rav Huna V'Hu Shenis Peres Al Gav Hayad. It only applies if that finger, the extra finger, is on the same line as all the other fingers that he has. Otherwise, it's not called an Eiver, and he doesn't go free with Hotzas Eiver. So they all have to be together, even the sixth finger, on the same Shura. Obviously, it doesn't have to be the same height. All our fingers are different heights, but as far as being aligned, they're all aligned. If he has a finger coming out of the middle of his hand, of his palm, that's not considered a finger, and therefore removing it is not a chisar ne'ever. The Gemara now tells the story with regard to Evarim, which the Eved goes out freedom. Save Dinzuna, Dinzunya. Okay, there was a place in Bavel, apparently by the name of Zinuzia. Nizunya, and Save, the elders of that city, Lo Asu, they didn't appear Lepirkei Rav Chisda for the drasha of Rav Chisda. Amale, Rav Chisda said Rav Hamnuna, Zil Tzan Inhu, go tell them to hide. In other words, they shouldn't be found. Meaning nobody should see them. And Rashi explains that this is nidui, which is a kind of excommunication for someone who lacks or is deficient in kavod for Talmidei Chachamim. You see how important it is to show up for a drasha. Azal Amar Lahu, he went and told them, this is Rav Hamnuna, my time alo osu Rabbanu Lepirkei. Why didn't you come to join the drasha? Amalei, amai neisei, why should we go? Debeina minei milsa velo poshatlan. We asked him a question, alocha, and he never answered that question. If he doesn't know how to answer questions, why should we go here as drasha? He's apparently second fiddle. Amalehu, so Rav Hamnuna turns to these chachamim who didn't show up in the drasha, and he says to them, Mi ba isu minai mi develop shitnalchu. Did you ever ask me any question? And I couldn't give you an answer. And I'm only a Talmud of Rav Chisda. If I know how to answer your questions, how much more so the Rav Chisda could answer your questions? It could be that you asked him a question. And it was in the middle of his drasha. He wanted to continue his drasha. He didn't think it was absolutely critical to stop his drasha to answer your question. And in truth, halachas in Talmud Torah require, there are very strict rules about how to ask a question, when to ask a question. And not every question in the middle of a drasha deserves an answer. Bo minei eved. So again, this was the question that the Zkedim wanted to ask Rav Chisda, but now that Rav Hamnuna is there, they're going to ask it to Rav Hamnuna. Eved Sheser So Rabo Babetzim Mahu. What's the law in case of the Adon who cut into the testicles of an Eved? That's called Sirus. Now, what is the nature of the Safek? What it's all about? Kimum Shabagoli Domi. Do we assume that this is an external mum? And we said over and over again in the past that Rosh Eivar means not internal injuries, but external injuries. And the Beitzim are something that you can see from the outside. So the Sirus to the Beitzim is considered a Mum Shabagoli. And therefore, Yotze L'Cheres. It's also an Eino Chozer. It's an irreversible. There's no return to health. Olo, or should we say no? It's not something that's considered begolui. That is because the testicles are inside the scrotum, the sac. The first side was to say no, it's considered begolui because it's something that you could see from the outside, even though they're covered by a membrane. And the second side is to say once it's covered by a membrane, that's not called golui by definition. Lohavi biyode. And Rav Nuna couldn't answer this question. Omrule, so the Zikne Mizunaya said to Rav Nuna, Mashmach. Omruluhu Hamnuna. They didn't recognize him, so they asked him what his name was. Omrule, Lav Hamnuna. Your name should not be Hamnuna. Hamnuna is someone that you can rely on. Ella Karnuna. Karnuna comes from the phrase Yoshve Kronos. These were the people who used to sit at the crossroads, waste their time, and basically they were insulting him by saying him that he's not a Bal Torah. He doesn't know how to answer their questions. Also, Lekamei Derav Chiz. Thus, Rav Huna comes back to Rav Chizda's Rebbe. He tells him the whole story and the question of the Ziknei Nezunya. Amar Lei, Rav Chizda said to Rav Hamnuna, Masnisa bo minach. What they asked you is actually addressed by a Braisa, by a Mishnah. Desnan, there's a Mishnah Masechta Negoim Esrim V'arba Rosh Eivarm Shabadim Kulam Eimetam Mishum Michya. Michya is what we call a Simon Tuma. And with regard to the 24 Rosh Eivarim, they're not Metamin Mishum Michya, they're not Metamin unless you see, you show the whole thing to the Kohen V'vasachas. So if there's a Nega HaMachaya who Al Rosh HaEver Meshtapeh V'yored Litzdido Yefshalar also Kulu Ka'achas V'enu Metamin. So this halach that the Kohen has to see in kulo ke'achas. And if it's a nega, which he calls michya, which means it's on the end of an aver, in such a way, it's structured in such a way that you can't see everything together, it's not metam. Ve'eluhim. What are these Rosh Eivarim that aren't metamim mishum michya? Rosh Eitzbos, Yodayim, Viraglayim, that comes up to 20, Virosh Yoznayim, Virosh HaChotem, Virosh HaGviya, Virosh Dadin, Sheva Isha. All these Rosh Eivarim are not Mitamim, Mishum Michya. So we know there's some Simon Tuma in the Goyim, which is called Michya. In fact, you'll find this in Vayikra Perek Yud Gimel, which Amir Tzshem will read this Shabbos. The Ra HaKoin V'hinei Se'es Levona Bi'or V'hofcha Se'er Levon U'michyas Basar Chai B'Se'es. The Gemara here that we're learning in Kiddush doesn't explain what this Simon Tuma called Michya is, but what we're talking about, and this is clear from the Mishnayos in the Goyim, is a person has on his body baheres, and in the baheres there's michyas bosar chai, meaning in the nega itself there's some bosar which has the mara. It looks in its appearance exactly like mara bosar, regular healthy, a healthy bosar, and that itself is a simon nega tome. So in other words, all the dinim of tumas negam apply because he has inside this baheres a michya, a piece of his flesh which looks like normal flesh as opposed to the color of baheres. The shear of michya is a shear of adasha, whereas the shear of all the other simonim are kigris. So michya has a special status. However, there's one requirement in the case of Michya that excludes Michya in the 24 Rosh Eivarim. And what is that? The Torah there says over there in the same chapter, Vayikra Yud Gimel, in Paroach Tifrach Hatzaras Bi Or V'Kisa Hatzaras Is Kola Or Hanega Mirosh V'Ad Bal Ragav L'Chol Mara Eini HaKohen. And the Torah is talking about the Kohen who sees the Mara, the Nega. And what it means is that the Nega is all together on one level. If the Nega somehow is mishtapea, meaning it bends over to the tzadim in such a way that it's on two different sides, and the Kohen can't see it but one Ria, then it's not mitame under this category called Michya. Now, what's interesting is that the Rashi Evarim, the 24 Rashi Evarim that are mentioned in that Mishnah Negayim, which are not Metame Mishum Michya, are the Rashi Evarim which an Eved goes free when his Adon removes them. So, for example, if you have this Michya on Rashi Etzbos, so what happens is the Michya sort of like rolls over, spills over to both tzadim in such a way that you can't see the entire nega at once. And without Re'ias HaKohen of the entire nega, there's no Tumas Michya. And the same thing is true for all the other parts that are mentioned here. And Bekulon, the Mishnah says, Eved Yotzeben Lecheris. Okay then, now there is a shita of Rabbi Yehuda. He says, Af Sheba Ish, we're talking about nipples, they also are not Matam Mishum Michya, whereas the Tanakama of Rabbi Yehuda said that no, it's only Rosh Dadim Sheba Isha, because there it's a very sharp curvature. And when there's a curvature and it goes on both sides, then there's no Tumas Michya. V'tani Allah, v'kulan eved yotzeh min sheva Rabbi Yemir ha-faserus. So that in the context of this Mishnah, there's a brisa that says v'kulan eved yotzeh min l'cherus, and Rebbe wants to add that serus is also eved yotzeh min l'cherus. So even though serus is not listed amongst the Rashi Evarim, which are not Metam Mishum Michya, nevertheless, as far as Eved Yotzim and Cherus, the Eved goes out Becherus because of Sirus. And that is Rav Chisda's answer to the original Kasha that was raised by the Chachmei Nezunya, namely that an Eved is Yotzim and Becherus through Sirus. Benazi Omer Afaloshon. He adds another case where the Eved goes L'Cherus. That's if the Adon cut off the tongue, or maybe part of the tongue of the Eved, and that's called a Mum Shebegoli, because as soon as the Eved starts speaking, you know, you see his tongue. So the tongue is like an external injury. But in any event, Rav Chisda now is going to explain the words of Rebbe in order to answer the question of Nezunya. Omar Mar, Rebbe Omer Afa Serus, Serus Demai. What method of Serus did he use? Elam, if it's a case of Serus the Gid, where he cut off the organ, the male organ, is that wouldn't be any, Rebbe wouldn't be adding anything to the Mishnah itself, because Hainu Gvia, the Mishnah says, amongst the 24 organs, the male sexual organ is included. And it's Yotzev V'Rosh Evarim. So why do you have to say Afa Sirus El Alav? Serus debates him. It's exactly the case that they asked about, where the Adam removed the Beitzim, and as a result of this removal of the testicles of the Beitzim, the Eved goes free, and it's considered a Mum Shebegoli. The Chachamim, on the other hand, in this Mishnah, did not mention Serus, and the implication is that they disagreed with the Chachamim. They would define Serus as a Mum She'eno Begolut. The Gemara now explains Rebbe Shita, Rebbe Omer Afa Serus, and we saw that Benazi says Afa Loshon. It would seem from the way the Braisa was organized that Rebbe holds that Tziotzi L'Cherus dafka in the case of Serus, but not in the case of Nitilus L'Shono, And Ben-Azeh seems to be adding Netilas Lishono as an extra case of Yotze L'Cherus. And V'Rebbe, now the Gemara has a kasha, V'Rebbe, are you telling me that from the Seder Advarim you conclude Lashon Lo, that if the Adon takes out his tongue, the Eved does not go into Cherus? Rimini, I'll ask you a stira from another Brisa. Misha Haya Mazeh. We're talking about the Ephra part, and there's a din of Hazal onto the Tommy Mess, the Nitzazah Hazal Piv, and some of the Ephra Hazal fell onto the mouth of the Tommy, Rabbi Omer. Rabbi says, in this case, Hiza, the Hazal is meaningful, he becomes tar, even though, in order to be Matar himself, he needs a Hazal al Gufo Shal Tommy, b'makom Golui. And here in this case, what did he do? He was mazal piv. But the answer is that a piv is considered makom golui. Chachom omrim lohi. So it's not a valid hazah. My love al lishono. What does it mean that Chachomim say that it's not a valid hizah when he's mazal the efer apar on the pet? It's considered a makom seser. And that's not enough to be mekayim the hazal gufo shel tamei. We require makom golui. And peh is considered a makom seser. My love, al lishono. So the Gemara asks the following question. It would seem that the hazal went on to his lashon, the lashon of the tamei, his tongue. And it would prove, and then it becomes proof positive that according to Rebbe, the Lashon is considered a Makom Agula. We just finished saying that Rebbe disagrees with Ben-Azeh in the case of Lashon because he holds that that's called a Mum Sheba B'Seser. It's not Golui, but here you get the impression that we consider the Peh, which probably means the Lashon, because that's what the Gemara says, my life al Lashon, and yet we consider it as a Makom Megula. Not the way we thought now, Bryce, that the implication was, as far as Yetzias Eved L'Cherus, that Rebbe's opinion is that Mum in the tongue is not considered Mum Shebegolui. The Gemara answers, lo. That's not the way we should interpret this Bryce about Hazos Mechatos. Al Svasov, it wasn't Hazal Lashono, because if it was Hazal Lashono, that would be valid, but it was Al Svasov. That would be invalid, because in the case of Lashono, Rebbe's opinion is that that's not one of the Rashi Evarim, because it's considered B'Seser, it's not Pegolui, but Al Svasov, that's already a Makom Megula. And therefore, if the Efer HaPara and the Hazah Noga Bilashono Lo Hoya Nitar Bekach, he would not become Tar. Why? Because that's considered B'Seser. And again, as we said before, just to reiterate, the Hazos Efer HaPar has to be on Gufo B'Makom Golui, and according to Rebbe, the Shita of Rebbe is that the Lashon is considered a Makom Seser. That's why the Eved doesn't go out L'Cherus in the case of Hotzas Lashono. But rather, the Brisa here is talking about Sfasov. Sfasov is certainly a Makom Megula, and therefore, if the Hazah came in contact with his peh, then it's valid. Had it come in contact with his Lashon, he would not be Nitar B'kach. It would not be considered Hazah. And now, the Gemara goes on to say that this is Rebbe Lishitoso, that the Lashon is considered a Makom Seisa, that's why it doesn't work for Hazah, and that's why the Eved doesn't go out B'Rosh Eivarim in the case of Lishono. Al Sfasov Pshita. Now the Gemara is going to ask the following question. Why does the why does the Gemara accept, how can you possibly accept this interpretation of the Braisa that the Hazoh was on Lashono, and the Chiddush is that it's not, we're focused now on the sheet of Rebbe in the Braisa. Rebbe says, with regard to Nitzah Hazal Piv Hiza, that it is valid, I mean it's called Makom Agula, and the Gemara is assuming now that this is a reference to the Sfasayim. So the Gemara says, Al Sfasa Pshita, for sure it's a Makom Agula, and the Hazal should be valid. Mao Ditem, I might think, Zimnin de Cholim Sifse. Right, certain times a person closes his mouth in such a way, very, very tightly, that you can't even see his lips, and therefore it's not considered a makom agula kam mashmalan. Rebbe says that that's not so. It's considered a makom agula. The hazah is meaningful, and we're not sure why the chachamim disagree. It should be a makom agula. The final maskon in Rebbe, as far as lashon is concerned, is that lashon likewise is considered a makom magula. But that would be a steer to the Braisa as far as Yitzias Eved Lecherus. Because in the case of Yitzia Lecherus, Rebbe only spoke about Seirus, but he didn't go as far as to include Lashon. So the answer has to be that in the case of Lashon, Lashon is considered a Makom Seser, and that's why the Eved is not Yotze Beotzas Lashon, Becherus, and therefore also this case of Lashon is not considered Azoya because it's called a Makom Seser. Gemara asks the following question about Tanya. We learned in another Braisa. With regard to Azoya, it says, he's a Lashono, and it sounds like in this Braisa of he's a Lashono, it's considered a makom magula. When Rebbe said in the Braisa that nitzza azal piv hiza, that it's a valid hazoya, the Braisa tells us now that that's a case of al lashono. So we have two problems now. Number one, you cannot tell me that the Braisa is referring to Sfasayim when Rebbe said it's the hazoya is chal, because it says explicitly in this Braisa it's a case of lashono. And that's what Rebbe meant by when he said piv. And the second question is that if the Hazoya is valid, why isn't the Yotze Barash Evarim? If the Lashon is considered a Makom Magula, and that's indeed the reason why Rebbe holds the Hazoya Lashonu is valid, then it should be a Din of Yitzia Barash Evarim. Why does Rebbe say not? That it's only Sirus but not Lashon. The Odin, furthermore, Tanya, we have a Braisa. The Braisa wants to know, how do we know that with regard to Mumin, we have Mumin, what we call Nikarim Ukvuim. They're very definite, recognizable, and they're not just temporary. And we're talking about, for example, Mumin in the case of a Bechar Behema. You slaughtered the Bechar, and you're allowed to eat it Bechol Makom. And it says, Vishanital Rosh HaLoshon is Rebbe Omer Rov Hamedaber Shabalashono. Let's just say a few words about the din of Bechar Behema. And this is in Dvarim Tesvav, Kol HaBechar Asher Yulad Bebekarcha B'tzoncha HaZochar Taktish LaShem Elokech Lefnei HaShem Elokech Tochlenu Shona B'Shona B'Mokva Shayivcha HaShem Atah And we have a drasha here called a klal, pratu klal. It says mum, that's called a klal. Pisecho iver is a prat. Kol mum ra is again a klal. Is ma prat mefurish mum shebegolui v'eino chozer misrapi af kol mum shebegolui v'eino chozer. So the Kedushas Bechar is Paka through Mum, as long as it's number one, a Mum Shebegoli, and number two, it's Eino Chozer. And now we have a Braisa that has an entire list of the Mumin which are considered Mumin she'enam chozrim, they're kvuim, and therefore the bechar behema can be shechted and eaten anywhere, and it can be eaten by a tmeim as well as the torim. And amongst the list of mumin, the shenital rov haloshon. This is the Tanakhama. And Rebbe Omer, rov hamedavish haloshon. So according to the Tanakhama, even though nital loshon is a mum, nevertheless the gabi eved, the Tanakhama holds that he's any yotzibo, because even if it's a mum gadol, as far as psul karvan is concerned, it's not considered a mum shebegalui lifsol b'eved. But Rebbe holds that rov hamedaber shebelashono. So we want to find out now, what does Rebbe mean by rov hamedaber shebelashono? Now, In the tongue, part of the tongue is more or less stationary, and part of the tongue moves around in the mouth. And then he says that eino davaklo means that even though a behemoth doesn't speak, but it's considered rov hamadaber because there's something similar in the human. In the human anatomy, the human structure of the mouth. Now, in this brisos, according to Rebbe, the lashon is considered a makom golui. First of all, because the first brisos says al lashono, meaning that amongst the cases where the hazah is valid, with the efer apara, is lashon is considered valid. And number two, here in this brisa, with regard to the mum in a bechar, Rebbe says that if you remove the tongue, or at least the chelak hamedaber of the tongue, then the animal becomes a baal mum, and you can eat it anywhere. So we see that the lashon is considered a mum, which is nikar. Because we said before that a mum has to be number one begolui and number two has to be enu chozer. So how do we reconcile this with the fact that Rebbe himself seems to imply in the first brisa about Evid Kanani goes out b'rosh evarim, that only Sirus is yotze b'rosh evarim, but not lashon, because lashon is not begolui, it's beseser. Ella, we're going to have to reinterpret Rebbe. Rebbe Omer Sirus. Rebbe says that Sirus is considered a mum shebegolui velomi by Lashon. He wants to tell you even Sirus, where that Lashon is upgraded. I don't even have to tell you about Lashon. That Lashon is certainly a makom golui, because again, when a person opens his mouth, you see his tongue. And therefore, it's a mum which is nikar, relative to Sirus abetzim, which, as we said before, they're inside the scrotum, they're covered by a membrane. But the bottom line is, in this new reinterpretation of Rebbe, Rebbe maintains that Lashon is certainly considered Golui, and Yeyotze B'Rosh Eivarim, and now we can reconcile that with all the other statements of Rebbe, where Rebbe says, L'gabi Hazor, the Lashon is considered a valid Hazoya. And with regard to Bechar, Behemoth Bechar, if its tongue was removed, then the Bechar can be eaten anywhere. It no longer has Kedushas Bechar. Ben Azay disagrees as far as Lashon is concerned. I will say this law. In other words, Lashon is considered where the Eved goes to Kheris, but not Seirus. Why? Because Seirus, relative to Lashon, is considered mum shebeseser. And the Gemara now clarifies, umay af. Why did Ben Azay therefore say af haloshon? Really, Ben Azay holds that Sirus is not yotze b'rosh evarim. So why does he say af loshon, that in loshon he goes out, and even in loshon, as if to say Sirus for sure he goes out. But that's not true, because Ben Azay holds that Seirus is considered a mum
Shebes Seiser, and there's no din of shichur in Hotzas Haloshon. So the Gemara answers to explain the words of Ben Azai, Akamaisa. Ben Azai was commenting on the Tanakama. Tanakama mentioned that there are only 24 Roshei Varim. And on this point that there are only 24 enumerated, Ben Azai says, no, there's a 25th. And that is Loshon. But he didn't have any intention of adding onto Divrei Rebbe to say that in addition to Sirus, there's Lashon. No, he was adding to the Mishnah that in addition to the 24 categories of Rosh Eivarim, we have a 25th category, and that's Lashon. Yehochi, the Gemara says, if that's what the Brisa means, and Ben Azai holds that only a Mum Sheba Lashon is considered a Mum Sheba Golui, but not Sirus, is Nachtimol of Ben Azai Bereisha. It would have been more logical for the Tana to have presented the Shita of Ben Azai first, before Rebbe, because Rebbe is the one who's adding to Ben Azai, not the other way around. In fact, Ben Azai disagrees about Sirus, and now the Rabbanan are adding, in addition to Lashon, because we saw many brises that Rebbe holds to the Lashon is Megula, in addition to that, Rebbe says it's also Sirus. So you have Lashon and Sirus. So if that be the case, then surely Ben Azai should have been mentioned first, because Ben Azai is only allowing Yitzias Avdus Lecherus in Hotzas HaLoshon, but not in the case of Sirus. Rebbe is adding Sirus, but he also holds that Loshon is the evidence Yotzeb Rosh Eivor, because it is Megula and it's Einav Choser. So that's the question the Gemara is asking about, to say there the sequence in which the Shitas appear. The Gemara answers, Tana Shama Lid Rebbe Vikova. First he heard the words of Rebbe. This is a similar Gemara back in on Daf Vav in this Masechta. Vishama Lid Ben Azai. And he also heard the words of Ben Azai. And Ben Azai was telling him that even a mum sheba lashon motzi lecherus vitani. Vitani means that the reason the sequence really just reflects the order in which the Tana heard the various shitos. And even though in the Brisa, Rebbe appears first and Ben Azai second, which again logically doesn't make any sense because Rebbe is adding to Ben Azai, whereas Ben Azai adds to the Mishnah the case of Lashon, but he rejects Sirus. So really, Ben Azai should have been first for Rebbe afterwards. But the sequence, as it appears, reflects when the Bala Brisa heard these halachos. So the first thing that he heard was Rebbe, and therefore he puts Rebbe first. And then afterwards he heard about Ben Azai. So Tana Shama Lid Rebbe V'kava. V'shama Lid Ben Azai, he heard later Ben Azai, and therefore he was Kovea that second. Now, this is what we wanted to add. V'tani Mishnah lo zaza mimkomo vitani. In other words, he wrote the brisa in a way in which would reflect the sequence in which he heard the halachas. He had heard the halacha of Ben Azai only after he heard Rebbe, and therefore he puts Ben Azai after Rebbe. And that's what it means when Ben Azai says Af Haloshon. Af Haloshon of Ben Azai is that there's a 25th Eiver where the Eved goes out Beroshe Eivarim. And then Umishnah Lo Zosim Komo. In other words, he left Rebbe in his place before Ben Azai. Even though logically it makes sense first to present Ben Azai, he was adding something to the Tanakama, and then Rebbe was adding something not only to the Tanakama, but even to Ben Azai. but the Talmidim were used to learning and quoting Rebbe, and therefore, since they were used to quoting Rebbe immediately after the Tanna Kamma, that's the way it was organized in the Brais. So the sequence of the Brais reflects nothing more than the chronology in which the halachas were heard. Now, we were learning about an Eivah Shebegolui, an Eivah Shebeseser, that's going to be Machlokas. Omar Ula, Hakol Modim Bilashon Le'inyin Tuma. And that's Golihu Eitzel Hasheretz. What does that mean? Rebbe and Ben Azai would both agree that the, as far as the din of Eved is concerned, the Lashon is considered Makom Goli. And the Tanna Kamma didn't have Lashon because he held that Lashon is Eino Gluya, and the Eved therefore doesn't go out to Cherus. Is Hakol Modim B'Lashon Le'inyin Tuma, that as far as Tum is concerned, the Lashon is definitely considered a Makom Golui. Talking about a Negias Lashon B'Sheretz, and even though there's Machlokas between Rebbe Ben Azai on one hand and Tanna Kamma on the other about whether Lashon is considered Gluy or not, and whether the Eved was B'Yotzi L'Cherus, if the Odin took off took out his Lashon, but nevertheless, as far as Tum is concerned, Lashon is definitely considered Golui. And what it means by Golui is that it's Tamei B'Negia, meaning if there was a Negia between his tongue and a Dover Metame, in this case a Sheretz, then he becomes Tamei. My timer, why is that so? Because the Pasuk says, Chol Asher Yiga Bo Hazav v'yodav lo shotav v'mayim v'chibes v'kodav v'rochas v'mayim v'tomet arev. Omer Achmona, the Torah says, Yigabo. And in Parshas Zav, which is in Vayikra Tezvav, the Pasuk is coming to teach us that a person is not nitma unless there is an Egiya b'makom goli, like his yadayim touched the tumah, hainami bar negiya, who in the lashon itself is taken out of its mouth, out of the mouth, and when you stick your tongue out, that becomes goli, and therefore when he has a tumah sheretz, then even though the sheretz was only nogea to his lashon, he's nevertheless becomes tamei. And now, although we had so far just this one case where everybody agrees that the Lashon is considered Golui with regard to Negiya v'Tumah Shemetz, now the Gemara says, again in the name of Ula, an additional category in which the Lashon is considered Golui, Le'inyan Tvila, which means that the Lashon is inside his mouth, is Ketamun Dami. In other words, there's Halacha that you need Mei Mikvah to come in contact with any makom goli shebeguf, and we would think therefore that lashon is considered makom goli. We saw that in terms of the ability, the case where there was an egia between the lashon and the tuma, is the tummy he became tummy. In other words, it's the lashon is makom, is considered makom golui. Here, with regard to tefillah, it's considered tamun. And therefore, you don't need that the mei tefillah touch the lashon. He can keep his mouth closed when he goes down to the mikvah, because the waters only have to have contact with a davar golui shebegufo. And lashon is not considered davar golui shebegufo. My taima, what's the source for this halacha? And there's a pasuk that starts, V'chi yitar ha-zov mizovo, V'sofer lo shivas yomim l'toros v'chi b'spkodim. Then it says, V'rochatz b'soro b'mayim, B'mayim chayim v'toer, Omer achmono. That's what it says in the pasuk. And since the Torah says that rochets b'soro, which is a reference to tvila, is b'mayim, is ma besor me'evroi af kol me'evroi. The basar is external to his body, and that goes into the mayim. Is any chelik from his goof has to come in contact with the water me'evroi mibachutz, and therefore the mouth, which is closed, and the lashon is inside, there's no requirement that the tovel has to open his mouth in such a way that there'll be an igia to a makom nistar, and therefore he doesn't have to put his teeth, or I shouldn't say his teeth, but his mouth and his tongue into the water, which means he doesn't have to stick out his tongue when he goes into the tefillah. So all this is clear. Number one, with regard to Tumas Sheretz and Negiah Bar, is the Lashon is considered Megula, and that's going to everyone. With regard to Tefillah, everyone agrees that the Lashon is considered Sefer. Lo Nechleku, where's the Machlokes in the Tanakama? The Tanakama says that Lashon is considered Eino Megula, and Rebbe and Rabbaza considered an Eva Golui. El Inyan Hazar, the machlokus is limited to azar, and the azar has to the mechatos has the efer apar has to come in contact with the makom goli shebegufo. Rebbe medami leletuma. Rebbe holds that the din of azar is got to be analogous to the din of tuma. We said before that if the lashon comes in contact with the sheretz, it's considered megula, and therefore, with regard to this halacha of hazar, it's also considered megula if he gets the efer on his tongue. V'rabbanon medamu l'tefila, and we saw in tefila that the lashon is considered a tamun, and therefore the same status applies to the lashon with regard to hazar. In other words, that hazar is according to Rabbanon, which requires makom goli, doesn't apply, is not fulfilled, I should say, if he does the hazar in the lashon. And the reason for that is because according to Chachamim, the lashon in hazar has the same din as the lashon in tefillah. The lashon in tefillah is considered makom seisah, so to legabe hazot makom seisah, and eino hazot, hazot is not valid. V'travayu, both Rebbe and the Chachamim, v'hai krokum, if they're arguing about the drash of the pasuk, v'hiza hatar al hatame, the Torah says that there's got to be a hazov mechatos of the Torah on the tame, b'yom ha-shlishi, b'yom ha-shvi, on Tuesday and on Saturday. But again, it doesn't mean Tuesday and Saturday. It means of his counting of Nikiyim. Is vechito b'yom ha'shvi vechibes b'godav rochatz b'mayim v'tar b'erev. Rebbe sovar v'hiza hatar al hatome b'yom ha'shlish b'yom ha'shvi vechito. What does it mean? Vechito means hazah, and it says al hatome. That means that there is a hekesh here between Balas Tuma and Hazar, because it says in the Pasuk, Vihiza Hatar Al Hatame. Al Hatame means Tuma, right? Contact with the Sheretz, like we spoke about before. And Hazar is the beginning of the Pasuk. So there's an analogy in the Pasuk between Hazar and Tuma. Kabbalah's Tuma is therefore just like the Lashon is considered Golui as far as Kabbalah's Tuma is concerned, so too it's considered Golui as far as Hazar. Rabbanan Savri, Vechito Bayom Hashvi, Vechibes Begodav Rochatz Bamayim. There's a hekesh between Hazar here and Tvila, not between Hazar and Kabbalah's Tuma. And therefore, the chitui in a makom aroi letfila b'mayim, that itself is enough in hilchos hazar. And if the lashon and if the hazar was on the lashon, that's not a good hazar. And why not? Because it's equated to tvila. And just like in tvila, the lashon is considered seiser and it's not roi letfila, so too in hazar, it's not considered a kiyum of Hazah. The Gemara now wants to raise the question why Rebbe and Rabbanon darshan the pasuk the way they do, and they assume that when it says V'hisa atar al atame, etc., etc., we're talking about V'chito, which is Hazah, and the beginning of the pasuk it says V'al hatame, and that analogy we accept. But Rabbanon Nami, why can't they accept the equation or the linkage between Hazah and Tvila? Isn't it Dami Lituma? And the Rabbanan assume that Hazah is to be equated to Tvila, and if the Lashon is considered Eno Begoli, why not say the Lashon is Begoli? And the reason for that is we can equate Hazah with Tuma, and in Kabbalah's Tuma we said that if the contact between the tongue and the sheretz is metamehim, is the Gemara answers, Tara mitara havalele melev? The Gemara says that it makes more sense to equate that which is goreim tara and equate it with another dover shegoreim tama. In other words, the evra golui in terms of Hazah is going to be goreim tahara, and tefila is also goreim tahara. So we have an equation here, a logical equation between Hazah, which is goreim tahara, and tefila, which is goreim tahara. Rebbe, he would prefer to equate Hazah with tumah and say that the lashon is megula, is nedamye litefila. Why doesn't Rebbe accept this logic of the Rabbanon that we should equate Hazah with Tvila, they're both Metarim? And the answer is, it says, V'chibes Begadov. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk says, V'chito, and Rochatz B'mayim, Hivsika Inyan. If the word V'chito, which is a reference to Hazah, would have been written contiguous to Dovik to Verochatz Vamayim, which would be Tvila, then it would make sense that the Din of Hazah is like Verochatz Vamayim, like Tvila, and therefore the Lashon would consider the Makom Seser as it is as far as Tvila is concerned. But since the Torah wedged in the middle between separating between Vechito, Verochatz Vamayim, Vechibes Vegadov, it comes to undermine that equation between the Hazah of Mechatos and the Tefillah of Mikvah. Therefore, it makes more sense that we would equate Hazah with Tumah and therefore define the status of Lashon as Makom Megula, both in terms of the Hazah and also in terms of Yitzia Barashe Evarim. And of course, Kabbalah's Tumah. The Gemara now asks on Ula, in the context of Rebbe, from a story. V'sova Rebbe linyan tvila kitamun domi, that the opening and inside the mouth does not necessarily have to come in contact with the water for tvila, because it's tamun, it's not megula. V'amar Ravin, Amar Rav Adam, Rav Yitzchak, Maisa b'Shimcha shel Beis Rebbe she'tovla, v'olsa v'nimtza etzem ben shineh, v'tzricha Rebbe tefila cheres. So the Shivcha of Beis Rebbe went into the mikvah to be metar herself from tumah. She came up from the mikvah and she noticed that there's an etzem ben shineh. There's some sort of a bone that got caught in between her teeth. And Rebbe said she needs another tefillah because that itself, that bone, is a chatzitza in tefillah. So we see quite clearly that Rebbe holds that the tefillah has to affect even the halal peh, even the inside of the mouth. And therefore, if there was a splinter, some sort of particle between the teeth when she went down to mikvah, that itself is a chatzitza because she didn't have mayim bias mayim into her mouth. Bein shineh. So Gemara answers nehi de bias mayim lo beinon makom aroy lover bo mayim beinon. even if we assume that as far as bias mayim mamish l'toch ha-peh, that's not required. You don't have to go as far as to say that there has to be water going into the mouth, as Ula mentioned before. But makom aroy lavo b'mayim b'ino, we need a space inside the mouth, the vacuum, the halal ha-peh, and that's got to be roy l'bias mayim, so that there should be no chatzitza whatsoever. Kid Rav Zera, Tiyam Rav Zera, Kar roy l'bila, ain bila ma'akevis bo, shein roy l'bila, bila ma'akevis bo. So basically what the Gemara is saying here is that your kasha was from the story that the etzem was ben shinel. Who cares if it was etzem ben shinel? In general, the peh is considered a makom seiser, so you don't really need tefillah in the peh. So what do we care if she had something between her teeth? The answer is, she needs to be royal abila. Because if she's not royal abila, then bila ma'akevis ba. And what's royal abila? It means that if the water were to go into her mouth, it would be no chatzitza. That's called royal abila. And if it's royal abila, then ain bila ma'akevis ba. Fine. Now we take a look at Kitanoi. This is already on Daf Chaf Hei Amid Beis, and the question of Sirus in Beitzim, whether or not it's a Mum Shebegolui, the Gemara says now is Kitanoi. It's Machlokes Tanoim the Braisa. The Torah says in Vayikra Chaf Beis Umauch. This is referring to a Krush Shivcha. Umauch v'kasus v'nasuk v'charus. Is kulam bebeitzim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So it means that all these mumim are in the beitzim, and that's considered makom golui, and therefore as far as Bechar is concerned, you don't bring him on the mizbeach. It's a mum. And now the Gemara takes a look at the brisa. It says v'chidas Rabbi Yehuda mumin eluhein bebeitzim v'lo begid. In other words, the gid is certainly considered galui, and it would be strange if the mumin like beitzim would apply, but not gid. Ella kulon af bebeitzim. And we discussed this before. You have to add the word af over here because certainly in the case of gid, it's a mum shebegalui. The chiddush is that even beitzim is considered mum shebegalui. Rabbi Lesman Yaakov and Kulam begid. All the mumim that were formulated here are said in the gid and not in the beitzim. The beitzim is not considered a makom galui, and only a makom galui can possibly behem as a carbon. Rabbi Yossi Omer moch v'kasus af bebeitzim. And Nosik Vikaris begin in Bebeitzim Lo. We have on this list, we have Mouch, which is Nismachu Abeitzim, they were crushed. Kosus is Nichtetu Ba'avonim Anshini Mochu. And Nosuk is Shenutku Biyad Legamre, they're still Tlui in the kiss. Korus means they were completely cut off from the kiss, and Rav Yossi is going to divide these four into two separate categories. He's going to have moch v'kosus, that itself is a mum, even in the beitzim, whereas nosuk v'karus, that's only in the gid, but not in the beitzim. Whereas Rav Elezer ben Yaakov says that all the above mumen apply, even in the beitzim. Now, for this Mishnah, we want to make the point that in the Mishnahs before, we've talked about Darke Kinyani Isha, we've spoken about Eved Ivri, about Eved Knani. Now we get up to Darke Kinyani HaBehemos. A person wants to purchase and acquire ownership over an animal. That's called Metaltalin. And then later on, we'll get to the case of Karkos, which is real estate. What are the kinyonim through which the kona can acquire ownership on these objects? And the Mishnah is going to define, and the Gemara is going to fine-tune it, those pu'ulos through which a person can be kona a behema. And there may be a difference between a behema gasa and a behema daka. That's what we want to see in the Mishnah. And Bli Neder will pick that up tomorrow.